It's the most wonderful time of the year. I think that's, it's a song for another season. But generally, everybody loves spring, especially when you get to March, because you have spring break. But maybe even more important is March Madness. So the college basketball tournaments are beginning literally this coming week. Some of you will fill out brackets. Many of you will do family challenges. Some of you will pick the winning teams based on you like their colors or you like their mascots, and you'll end up winning the entire thing, right? That's how that works. It's awesome. Last year, literally a year ago, I got a chance to go out. My alma mater, Texas Tech University, was doing really good, and I got to fly out to San Francisco. Had never been to Northern California. Anyone? Couple? No, everybody's Californian, so I just didn't. It just matters where they come from, the northern side. But I got to go out there. I got to watch them. They were in the Sweet 16 game, and they were down by 7 points at half. And then they were down by 14 points with about 13 points with 4.5 minutes to play. And if you look on the analytics, they had a 2.1% chance of winning. And so it was sad. It was a sad game until the final 3 minutes. They roared back. Came back, won the game in overtime, and I lost my mind. I lost my mind. I lost my voice. It was electric. It was incredible, and we had a connection to the team. I'm actually friends with one of the guys who has been a chaplain for the head coach, and so it was cool to get. I got to hang around the team, and it was just the coolest thing ever. And so then 2 days later, they're playing in the Elite Eight to get to see who goes to the Final Four. They were up by 10 with 3 minutes to go and lost the game, so kill me. But we experience all of these incredible and great moments in life, and some of times they're just really small and sweet moments. Maybe they're with family over holidays or spring breaks, or we get an opportunity to go to amazing and beautiful places or have incredible experiences, and they all kind of stir the heart, and there's a longing in the human framework for more of these kinds of moments. But the Bible is going to say those are just a taste. They're just a small, tiny sampling of what is to come. Every joy-filled experience you and I have in this life is actually meant to get us to long, desire, hope, for a new home and a new life. That there is something more that we are meant to hunger for. We can chase it here and now, and I'm so grateful for the little tastes that we can have. But it's actually meant to produce in you something that's insatiable, that won't totally be filled until that day. And so those moments are meant to remind us we are longing for a new home. These are just small foretastes, these joys, going home, your holiday experience, all of those things, they're tastes. And you go home for the holidays and your mom makes her famous dish and you partake and it gives you nostalgia and you feel home. We're meant to long for that home. And God's saying, I'm giving you a glimpse into what is to come, but it's only a shadow. Whatever joys you have experienced here. In fact, James chapter 1 says it this way, says every good and perfect gift you have ever experienced comes from this Father who is so good. In fact, you could be in here. You can be an atheist to your core. And what the scripture is actually saying is every good thing you have ever tasted is actually coming from this good Father. And he's trying to show you what he has for you. If you will come and trust him and not look for it on just this earth. And what he's trying to say, and the reason we have these longings, is he's trying to point us to another day. He's asking us to believe and to long for and to look to and listen to me. Live for today what is for another day, meaning live today for another day, that the tastes of glory we have here are meant to help us along for another day. And the danger that we're all under, the danger is that we could relegate heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, to a fairy tale. Let me just say that again. It is possible, when I'm talking to you about this day that is to come, that it feels like a fairy tale. And the scripture is going to ask us to get anchored and rooted in what is to come, because you and I will be tempted to anchor our hope in the here and now, which will only produce despair, because what you and I have inevitably experienced in this life is the here and now cannot satisfy. What you and I really long for is the presence of God. And we get tastes here and now by his very presence with us. But there is something that we are meant to have for forever, and that is what we are meant to live unto. There's so many good things that happen, so many bad things that happen. All kinds of issues, even across the earth today, that make us long for something more. Politics and social issues and climate and race and economy and war and all of those things, and none of those things are unimportant. But if you feel deep anxiety over these issues, over the chaos of this world, I want to ask you, how much of your hope is anchored in this life or in the one that is to come? I'm asking us to think long and hard on this thing that often is a fairy tale to us, that God designed to be real hope and real promise for today. Promise that we can sink our teeth into and not have our lives anchored in this earth. And what the Word of God is going to tell us, what we're about to read, is there's another day coming. It is beyond your greatest hope. So anchor yourself in this day that is coming. Anchor yourself in this truth. And we're given a picture of it in Revelation chapter 21. And these are the promises that we're being asked by the Spirit of God through the Word of God to anchor our hope in. You understand? This is why it was given and delivered to us. So we're going to read it, and this whole chapter is incredible, because it's going to talk about what God has for those who will believe him and trust him all the way to the end. Persevere, go through it all. Here's the promises. It will also, there's actually at the end, what will happen for those who don't want to anchor their hope and promise in it and will not trust in God. And we're not actually even going to get into that this morning, because we got into it a little bit last week. And if you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to go back and you can listen to the message. But what I'm going to center on is, if you're willing to have the guts to believe, to by faith trust in this king, what he has for us in the age to come. Revelation 21. Are you guys ready for this? Yeah, y'all are lively. That's good. I'm juiced. Here we go. All right, I'm sitting on a stool to make me not do cartwheels up here. All right, so I'm anchoring down here a little bit. All right. Revelation 21. This is the Apostle John getting a vision for what God has. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more, which is fascinating. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for this is trustworthy and true," meaning it's not a fairy tale. And he said to me, "It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Now, there is more than in this little text alone than we could certainly unpack here. But I just want to give us three truths to begin to anchor ourselves in that will allow us to live today for another day from this text. What we are promised first is a new heaven and a new earth means a new you. A new heaven and a new earth means a new you. Now, let me ask you this question. What are the parts of your life that frustrate you the most? Don't answer that. It could get long-winded in here, right? We all have frustrations. What are the limitations that you experience that frustrate you the most? Limitations with your mind, limitations in your body. What are the ones that keep you most frustrated, that feel like they hold you back? Quick question. Now, I will ask you to vote on this. How many of you, just since the beginning of the year, just the beginning of 2026, how many of you have had some kind of sickness just in your body from the beginning, just from the beginning of the year? Raise your hand real high, real quick. Good. About 80% of us. The rest of you, good job. Great job. You're taking your vitamin C. These bodies are a mess. They don't always work right. They're susceptible to limitations and disease. I could interview each one of you, and I bet you could tell me things that you wish were different, capacities that you wish you had more of. Run faster, jump higher. That's what it was, at least in junior high for me, but more intellect, more emotional awareness, greater capacities, longings to have more, to be more, to not be broken down, to not experience sickness, to not experience the frustration or limitations. And this promise here is new heavens, new earth, new you. So what he's saying here is, the limitations you have right now, those don't have to define you. Something else is coming. Something better is coming. So live unto what is coming. It's all right that we live in a world that is broken and where there's limitations, but it doesn't have to define you because that's not your. This is not final for you. It doesn't have to have its final word over you because it's not the end for you. The way the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, says it to us in Philippians, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Pause. I don't know if you ever read the Bible and maybe skim through or skip over. Just want to read it again. You look at it in your own Bibles. We have it here on the screen. So our citizenship is in heaven. And we are awaiting a Savior, Jesus, who is going to transform this messy, limited, prone to brokenness and sickness body. And it's going to be like his glorious body. Whoa. How is he going to do that? By the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Meaning, it's by the power of the word that upholds the universe that he is going to make your body like his glorious. Mind blown. Get there with me. Mind blown. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. In other words, live now for a day that is coming. Don't shrink back. He's not going, oh man, this thing is going to be so awesome, so just let yourself go. Who cares? Right? That was the dualism idea of the day in the Greek world. I can do whatever I want to the body. It's not really connected to the soul. He's saying, no. You don't understand where God is taking you, what he's going to do in you, what your body will be like with no capacities, no limitations, glorious just like his. So therefore, stand firm, run hard, treat your body well, lean into where God is taking you today. That's the reason. That's why we eat the salad, right? It's like, if you need motivation, I do. I need motivation, right? It's where the motivation comes from. I'm so glad for this series. I need it, right? It means that sicknesses and ailments and things that don't work well for you, some of you maybe have thyroid. I could go over a host of issues here. If we listed them out, it would be frustrating. That doesn't define you because it's not the end of you. It stinks in the here and now. It's an hour. Therefore, trust this king who's going to give you more than you could ever imagine. If your body is cruddy right now, you can worship him here and now because he's giving you a new one. Like, you can lift your voice and sing and declare because something's coming. If you have felt shame because you don't look like that, or not, you're not like that, or you look at all the Hollywood or whatever, and the Lord's saying, child, beloved, do not let that be your source. I've got something for you, so hold on. Fight, stand firm, live today for another day. Take care of yourself. Don't trash your body. We have purpose here and now. That's where we're headed. Not only that, but a new heaven and a new earth means restored relationships. So we get new bodies, but we get new relationships. So that whatever feels strained for you right now is going to be made totally right, so your heart can be at rest. All of the relationships, both the ones that you have communally, have kinks and messes and things that don't work right. But we also have, like, relationally across the earth, things that don't work right. Enmity against nations and people groups and colors, and there's strife in relationships all the time. And all of that is going to cease. And we could think about it literally across the spectrum. We feel the weight and the sadness and the pain of whatever racial divisiveness and judgments and biases that have ever existed. And you can look right there in your Bible. And here's what Jesus is going to do. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue that will be there, and they will have one God and they will be together. It won't matter what part of the earth you came from, what color of your skin, you will treasure him and love each other. God's saving them all. Which means we're going to have an incredible, beautiful, multicultural, multicolored day to come where we, like, hug and link arms and rule and reign together. No more pollution. All my environmentalists in here. The rivers are immaculate. Drink from it. No more ducks with the soda cans around their neck, you know, whatever. Or the, you know, the oil spills and stuff. Yeah, right. Like, what you, if you're longing for, like, that day, it's like, this is what we're headed towards. It's where we're going, right? All my crunchy people and the vaccines. You hadn't seen organic yet. All right, I promise you. Okay? You don't have to worry about any of it. It's awesome. Come on, half of you are crunchy. I know. You're all homeschoolers. We get it. All right? It's great. Come on. That's all of us, right? Great. God's got you. Like, if that's what you love, that's all. You love that? That's your thing? Man, wait till you have the bread in heaven, right? That's going to be some sourdough up in here, you know? All right? All of my capitalists, you business guys, in God's economy, 0% unemployment. 0%. Everybody has a role. Everybody has design. Everybody has purpose. Everybody has meaning. They're not searching for it endlessly among the scraps of the earth. They're empowered by this king who's declared over them who they are. All you guys that are worried about the political strife, all this stuff, all of my pacifists in here, no more war. All of my war hawks in here, you just saw the war of all wars where God kicked Satan's derriere to the end. All those who care about personal responsibility, God will reward all those. He gave 2 talents, 10 talents. Anyone who is willing to say yes and trust him and live unto him, he's going to care for them. All you guys that are my heavy compassion and everybody needs a hand and help, everyone gets cared for. Everyone gets clothed in beauty. There will be no orphans, no disenfranchised. Everyone gets seen. Everyone. It's what you've all longed for. It's what we've all longed for. To all of you who can't stand politics or political things, no more political parties, no more corruption, no more bad speeches to the glory of God. There's just one king. He's perfect, so you don't have to worry about it. You just follow him and trust him. Why is all this important? All this exists because God is there. what you and I are actually longing for is the presence of God. It makes all things right. That's why we fight for it in the here and now. It's why we care about worship here in this church. It's why we care about engagement. It's why we care about gathering together and caring for each other, because we long for this presence above all things. And the temptation is to be more passionate about the cause, whatever your cause is here and now, than you are about the Son of God. And I'm not saying you have to give up the things that you're passionate about in the here and now. I got many things that I care about, political things, I care about social things, I care about a lot of that stuff. But none of that can supersede the hunger of the heart for the Son of God himself. That is what we are being asked to believe and trust in. Because he will fix every broken thing. And that's where you're headed if you're in Christ. That's what you and I get to have. Finally, a new heaven and a new earth means new career. New career. If your job stinks, new day's coming, okay? And even those of you who love your jobs, some of those days stink anyway. So what's your new job? Ready? You are going to rule and reign with Jesus. That's it. That's your new job. And it talks about it a little bit in Revelation 21, but you could go back and you'll see over and over and over, over and over. Here's the record. Revelation 2, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. You're going to wear a crown. Revelation 2, 26, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Revelation 3, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation chapter 4, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they lay their crowns before the throne. And then there's this incredible song that they begin to sing. It is the greatest worship song for all time. It says they sang this song. It said, worthy, Revelation 5, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth with him. He is worthy. He's the only one who could open the scrolls. Why does God say these things? Because we're meant to reign with him. That's where you're headed. You're going like, man, my career's not really panning out the way I wanted. No, it will. You might be frustrated in the here and now. That's okay. It's not wrong to want new pathways and to care for your family and to provide and all of those things. It's not insignificant. God sees all of it. But listen to me. Here is where you are headed. Co-reigning with the Son of God across the earth. Every place, every nation, tribe, tongue. And you might even be like, man, I'm so tired. I don't want to rule. That doesn't sound like heaven. That sounds exhausting. You know you do. We all do. It's just whether or not you have the energy for it. You know that you want to rule. Because inevitably, you've had this conversation. Hey, where do you want to have dinner? What do you want to have for dinner? Oh, no, I don't really care. what we have for dinner. Okay, well, let's have burgers. No, I don't want to have burgers. You care about ruling, all right? You think you don't care until liver and onions get thrown out and you're like, no, we're not doing that, right? I do care. God's idea of heaven is we're a part of a family, ruling the universe and running the family business. And the Father is governing it all, and we get to be in partnership with him. So we're literally being trained now. Imagine responsibility and service and leadership that's just pure joy to get to do what the King has for us. Imagine that world. So often, and we've seen it twisted, and God's gonna untwist it so you can live for that day. It means your job, even if it's quirky and not fun, is training you for that now. All my students in here, if you're a student and you don't like school, you don't like homework, hear me. You're being prepared to reign in heaven. Your small job that you don't like, you're being prepared to reign in heaven. Don't throw away the moment to grow and to be prepared for something amazing. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever's in front of you, you're being prepared for something glorious. This is not a small thing. You stay at home with toddlers spitting on you, doing crazy things, throwing plates. You are being prepared for glory. It doesn't matter what the job is. Doesn't matter what where you're at. That's what we have to look forward to. And so this text is saying that God is calling us to live today like his secure and peace-filled children, and not like orphans who do not have hope. That's what the invitation is. It's the invitation. It's a call. Like, live big here and now. You have something so far beyond your wildest imagination. You can look back on the text. It's powerful. It's incredible. But he finishes verse 7. It says, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. He's saying, come into sonship, daughtership. Come into ownership. Be who you have been created to be. Behold, the old has passed and the new has come. That's the promise. And I ran out of time and notes, but that's all right. You guys stand with me. Would you just do this for me? And we're just a couple minutes over, but I want to do this. Would you just submit to the Lord right now any place of anxiety that feels like it is really heavy on you right now? Like you're looking at the days ahead, something feels heavy. And maybe you feel some fear, and it's real in your life. The truths of heaven don't take away what the real things we're facing in the here and now. But you need to be honest right now with God about the heaviest thing on you. Tell him right now in your own heart. Tell him what is heavy. And would you, as an act of worship, hand that over to him right now? Name it and hand it over. And you're saying, I've done it before. Good, do it again. Hand it over. Place it before this one who is able to take your burden and carry it for you and has promised you sonship, daughtership, rule, reign in righteousness, purpose, design to be known, to have everything you have ever wanted. That is the promise he now gives in exchange. Receive it. Authority, care, covering, understanding, fresh hope, fresh peace that you can't make up on your own. Receive it now. Ask him. I need peace. I need help. I need rest. Ask him. This is our act of worship. Father, thank you for what you have prepared for us. I pray that we'll wake up tomorrow morning with just a glimmer of hope, more glimmer tomorrow than we had today, believing and trusting in what you have. We so thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We'll finish this morning with our benediction, and we'll have some prayer partners if we can pray with you, encourage you, bless you. We'd love to do that because we get to have the tastes of that here and now when we care for each other. So that's available. Also, if you can see, our prayer room is coming along awesomely. If you want to write a scripture or a prayer, we got some pens out there. It is a construction zone. So if you take kids out there, just be careful. Don't let them into the playground area. Just keep them with you. Even the prayer room is a little bit unfinished. So it's very woodsy. So just be aware. You can go out there. There's pens out there. You can go ahead and write prayers and psalms and all kinds of stuff if that's in your heart to do. It will also double as our nursing mom's room on Sundays and many other things. But we're excited about it coming up for us. But we believe God wants to author beautiful things in that place. So feel free to do that. I'm going to pray our benediction as we go, and then we'll dismiss. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. We'll see you.